be recording this, and then we'll be putting it on our boardoptions.com website within 2 weeks. I would like to introduce our case writer, Susan Sirota. Susan has been CEO of a venture-backed company, grown it, and then sold it not once, but twice. She's a CEO, she's a board member, and Fortune 500 executive. As the founder and CEO of Wagget, which is a smart health collar for pets, Susan completed a successful exit. She also founded Kasasa, the original creators of reward checking accounts and a B2B SaaS suite for banking products. It's the number one account opening platform in the market today. Before exiting, Susan grew Kasasa to 350 people. The company was recognized as the best place to work every year. Prior to being a founder, Susan was executive vice president of marketing for Pete's Coffee and Tea. Susan's board experience includes a company that develops technology for parents to manage their children's use of technology and an online wellness platform for women. Susan received her MBA from Seattle University and a BS in marketing from the University of Colorado in Boulder. Susan, do you live in Colorado now?
I do. I'm back in Boulder after a trip around the country for 10.
Wonderful. Where in Colorado do you live?
I live in Boulder.
Wonderful. Good for you. So we have three groups, and what we're going to do is just go around and have a spokesperson for each group discuss the case and what decisions then they made. Then I'm going to turn it over to Susan to reflect on what she has heard the group say. Let's look at group two first. Babs, Craig, Mindy, Scott, and Suzanne.
Yeah. So we wondered why there was so much information about the financials up front of the case, because no one puts stuff in the case for nothing. So we thought that was because what Susan might be trying to tell us is that this CEO, Lizelle, was the face of the company and her importance in building that company. So it's very hard to remove someone when they are the face of the company, especially when it's going to IPO. We thought there were two possibilities. One is that these photos of compromising positions were misunderstood and they really weren't what they seemed. And perhaps the two parties didn't lie. There really was nothing going on and they didn't lie. So the first thing we thought you absolutely must do is actually talk to the parties and ask them about the compromising photos and get their side of the story and have an independent interview of those parties and find out the truth. We thought the bigger problem, if there was a lie, wasn't the affair or the relationship. It was the actual lie itself and a CEO actually being dishonest. And most of us thought in that case that the CEO needs to be removed, which means there's an interim and then a CEO search, and you have to put the IPO on hold, even though there's a risk of putting the IPO on hold. You have to do that if a CEO is lying. We also talked a lot about whether they needed a new policy, but people with experience in this area, not personal experience, but business experience in this area, noted that, you know, this is very common in companies for, you know, these relationships to happen. And the fact that the policy, it wasn't supposedly against policy, was it wasn't against policy, but there was a lie, perhaps. And we need to learn that. What did I miss, team? I'm sure there's something I missed.
No? Okay, thank you very much. Let's look at the next team, which consists of Barry, Maria, Steve Barnett, and Steve Sandler.
Okay, we discussed it. And first thing, these people were not violating this company policy. And that's a very important point. In these kind of things, I think that we think that it's very important that there be disclosure. If there's anything material, if you're going doing an IPO, you have to disclose anything that might be material. The fact that when confronted, there was a lie is important. So we decided that there absolutely needs to be disclosure to the underwriters. And then what we would suggest is, and of course, a counsel. And the best approach, I think, would be to go to the, discuss with the underwriters the problem and have the, and the directors to do it without the CEO around present, and discuss whether, if this is disclosed, whether the IPO could still go forward. And if it could go forward with disclosure, then do it. If it goes forward without this, can't go forward with this, then cancel the IPO. With respect to internal matters, there's probably something that should be done, decrease salary, something like that, take away options with regard to the CEO. She wasn't in violation. I'd be very reluctant to say that she had to be terminated. But there should be something done that would make people understand that you cannot not tell the truth. But, you know, again, disclosure in this world is the biggest thing, and then take it where it goes after the matter is disclosed.
Thank you.
All right. And did I miss anything, Barry, particularly? I think.
Yeah. I would add a little bit. One is that what Bab said about making sure you got your facts straight, I think it would be very important here, because after all, that is a person, and we don't want to just jump to conclusions that, people have rights as well as the company. And so getting the facts right. And then I would also say that if they agree, I would try to get, presuming that when confronted with the facts, she says, yes, we did lie, we were embarrassed about it, it was a mistake to lie, then getting her in as part, not separately. I would differ with my colleague that I would have her as part of the meeting with the lead director and the CFO and the investment banking firm. Let's say we have a problem. Here's what we think. We think we should do the following. We think we should probably, tell us if you see different based on your experiences, Mr. Underwriter. But we think we should go forward and just be frank and said that there has been during it has emerged that there was, assuming this is all true, that there was dishonesty about a relationship between the CEO and another employee, period. You don't need to mention gender, you don't need to mention who or anything. You don't need to mention pictures, anything like that. And we are, the board has a committee to investigate what is appropriate here, or maybe an outside counsel will hire. But our plan is to move forward. And I guess the last thing I would say, I feel strongly about this, is that the investment bankers, like anyone else, and this has been my experience sometimes with venture capitalists also, if you are honest about something, but treat it as a terrible thing, they will treat it as a terrible thing. If you're honest about it and say, but I want to go ahead, then your venture capitalist will usually say, go ahead. I know you just lost your VP of marketing is not going to join the team, but go ahead with this. So I think that one has to be very careful of one, not over dramatizing it to the investment bank, to say we have this and this is how we think we should do it. and with her there. But I, as far as the, I think all of us agreed to try and go forward because it's not materially affecting the prospects for the company. It's not in violation, so there may be something, but every CEO, if you look deep enough, they've lied about something or other. And so it's creating a new standard, more just saying we're working on what is the appropriate response, and we've asked our outside counsel to help us. Sorry for the long-winded answer, but I feel that's an important part of the process.
No, thank you very much, Barry. Let's go to the last team, and that's team one. That's Ari, Cindy, Craig, John Morgan, and Susan, and I think that's the team. Is there a spokesperson?
Yes, I am. So we said that we needed to do a risk assessment, and there's lots of risks associated with this case. Obviously, one is a risk of litigation for sexual harassment, but there's risk on the other side of not proceeding. So there could be financial, if, whichever way you vote, there's some financial impact. We did feel that it was important to get some legal opinions. You know, part of the risk assessment, what confidence do we have in the CEO? Did she in fact lie? Is it true? There's ways to doctor photographs. And then, so investigating that. And if you find that perhaps they were, is someone trying to sabotage the deal, the IPO, or blackmail? So we just found lots of risk here. But at the end of the day and weighing it, we voted to proceed with the IPO.
Thank you very much. So now let me turn it over to Susan. Please react to the reactions.
Yeah, your reactions were all fun to listen to. Really good thinking and a lot of the dialogue that went in the room. We basically came down to three main issues. The first was that you guys all hit on, she lied. And with some of the other things and nuance that I'll go through, her lying really did not sit well with us in the risk. It doesn't sit well with any of us, I know, period. But it went really downhill from there. The second was, if we look at the financials, and Babs, you're right, I included them because they were a big part of, if we look at the composition of the board, they're all the venture investors or independents that the venture firms sit on other boards with and picked, right? And so you've got that, you've got two people from the management, and you've got, so you have an issue here if PR gets out, which is the third issue we had, that there's going to be, if they move forward or not, some risks around when does the stock tank? And is it that these firms were looking out for their own fiduciary duty and the retail investors got left holding the bag because of the timing? So we started talking about that, which led into the PR risk. So it's really interesting. She's in a world of tech and entertainment where there is a history known of women CEOs being taken down for things that are not much versus male CEOs who are not. And data plays that out. She's a cult leader, basically, for underrepresented communities with the companies she built that put money in their pockets. She's their hero. She's always been this great person. She was in a consensual relationship. And so there's a whole bunch of things that say, wow, all male board punishing her in any way for something that men get away with every day, that will be treated one way by the press. Then if we look at the other side of that, John, and you hit on it in our group, the timing of finding this stuff and who finds these type of things in different order and when you're wiping a computer that you don't need to go through emails and pictures. And so the other faction of this is there's someone who started this ball rolling that has an incentive to actually get the other side out. And with any kind of gender bias, it's a lightning rod issue that both sides are going to take to the press, and it's going to be a big deal. And so you've got a CEO that you don't trust, which is why the lying played into it even more, because you can't really partner with her on what the reactions are going to be and what we're going to say, because she's already proven that in this situation, she was going to be dishonest. But we also have to look at the risks across all sides, not just the legal from the relationship standpoint, but what really is going to happen. This was exasperated because most of the folks knew that we were on this perfect, horrible timing of interest rates are rising. You had SaaS multiples around 10x revenue that are down to one now, and none of these IPOs are happening, right, in tech anymore, and there's a reason for it. And so it wasn't in the moment thing. What are you going to do? Pricing is already very tenuous, and we're going to end up in a lawsuit. And so the nuance drove a lot of this. And I think at the end of the day, the big lesson for everyone was if the CEO would have just been honest from the get-go, it would have been very easy to handle. And her lying about it just turned this into something that ended up stopping the IPO. We did consult with the lawyers, we consulted with our underwriter, and we consulted with a PR crisis firm across the board. And we were able to, going through all of that, there were still multiple opinions on the thing, but the risk was just too high of the unknown of what was going to happen with the pricing from the bankers, not even the risk. And they decided, because they knew this was going to get out in the press and they could not get a good read on how it would be taken, that they were worried about the price. And so recommended delaying. In that delay, their last raise of their Series C was at $1 billion+ valuation. The company now did a down round at around $230 million and is not in a position to IPO. So,
any questions for Susan about this case? It's fascinating.
Expensive lie.
What happened to the CEO?
So CEO is still running the company.
I'm amazed they took an $800 million hit. That's big.
And to be fair, almost every single company in tech has taken that percentage of a hit of their valuations, right? So that was not just because of this, but really more that they lost the opportunity and then the hit came.
What's the timing between the first IPO and the second one? Or second attempt?
So no, the early valuations were private. So they never ended up doing an IPO. So the lower valuation was a private to get some bridge money in.
Curious, did she consider getting out in front of it and making, holding a press conference, basically saying she was profoundly sorry for not being more straight and honest, and the company was going to try and continue, and its discussions, and depending what sort of what the investment bankers decided, she was going to, the company and its board would either take it public or not take it public.
She was brought to the table to solution some of this, and at the end of the day, the bankers made the decision that it was not worth the risk, even with her messaging, because one, they didn't trust her. A lot of stuff happened in the dialogue in between to get there. And two, they didn't trust where the story would end out on pricing and how, who would it be? Would people care, or would they treat her because she is a woman? Would it become something else? It really was such an unknown that they weren't wanting to take that risk. Yeah, who would have known at the time? They were thinking, let's get the story out, then we'll come back and we'll IPO. Signs were there. They couldn't have predicted the fact that the market was going to crash and IPOs and tech were going to stop.
So did the story get out?
The story did get out. But it didn't get out under the mountain of IPO. And so I think that they ended up, there was a lot of opinions, but it didn't end up impacting anything. That's why she's still running the company.
Okay.
So, Susan, as a board member, what advice would you give other board members about either dealing with a situation like that or when you set policy in advance of it?
It's a great question. The really something that we ended up talking about after was the importance of really getting independent directors on the board, because that's one of the areas that the underwriters really felt was risky, because everyone at that table really had their own interests that they were looking out for. It was harder to defend what happened with the pricing of the IPO post, even if we got the price and the story came out later and it hit. So I think they would have allowed the IPO to go forward if there was a decent number of real independents on the board. The second thing was really, again, getting crisp and clean about what our policies are. Not just their policies on the dating, because it was gray. We said, and their policy was not in the line, and she's the CEO, so everyone reports in, right? So you could say it was policy, but also on really upfront, what are the ramifications of a CEO who lies to you and continues to lie to, you know, and it was a messy situation because she's grew up in a world where she's going to be treated very differently when it comes to having an affair. And that's going to impact her relationship very differently. And she knew that, but she took it too far. And so really upfront, having some of those conversations, I think the board itself, that's why it got contentious, is there was people in that room who really felt that with the amount of lying that was happening, that trust really matters over everything else in that situation. And if you can't trust your CEO, you can't trust your CEO. Regardless of the financial risk, you cannot move forward. And then there were others in the room who their whole livelihoods of returning their funds or being able to raise was on the table, and they didn't seem to prioritize that.
Susan, this is Steve Barnett. And let me ask you a question. What if when she was asked about it, she didn't lie? And you know, she admitted that they were having an affair or whatever. How do you think underwriters and the board members and so on would feel about that?
Yeah, so I think that if she would have been very open from the get-go, none of this would have happened. They would have had a very healthy IPO. The reason, you guys couldn't get all the details in the case, but when I said that it got ugly with the conversations and the back and forth, it was because she continued, the story was starting to get out internally and she continued to lie. So now you had stories going on that other employees were hearing, and it took it to a level where you couldn't walk back.
Okay. Thank you.
Let's broaden the discussion. Has anybody other than Susan been in a situation similar to this? Okay. Babs mentioned something just almost in passing that I found fascinating, and that is suppose the CEO had been telling the truth and she wasn't having an affair with an employee, and this picture comes out suggesting that it is, and you know, where AI is coming in, it's going to be increasingly easy for compromising photographs to appear that both people in the photograph will say, that's not me. Where do you go with that? I don't have an answer to that, but it's going to be an increasing and important issue.
Mm-hmm. I work with a couple companies who are really big in the space, and we really are heading to the wild, wild west when it comes to holding anyone accountable. Not just, I think, for pictures and things, but the ability even now to get videos of people saying things that you cannot tell are not original videos is very scary to me.
think over time, there's a lot of work being done on, and that's going to be something that'll end up, I think, being even government regulations, that there'll be something like watermarks. Obviously, the technology is going to be much more complicated, but there's going to be something, a lot of work done on trying to make these kinds of things verifiable, because you're absolutely correct. And it even exists now. I mean, I think if I were an expert in Photoshop, I could show you doing anything in the world, standing upside down on the top of Mount Everest. And but that's one of the issues that is going to end up with a lot of work by people who are smarter than me on AI, and probably government regulation also, because it is an issue.
In the time that we have left, are there any issues that anyone here is facing in a board that perhaps getting the ideas and opinions of your fellow board members might be of value? Again, if you raise something, please disguise it. Anybody? Okay.
Larry, nothing I can talk about for another month.
Okay. All right. We will be meeting next month, same time, last Thursday of the month. We will have another case. And I want to thank very much Susan for the case that she presented. I loved it. You know, the play on the stereotypes was just terrific. So thank you very much. Obviously very involving.
Thank you.
Guys, for all of your discussion, it was really fun.
Good.
Great case. Really great case. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. Take care, everybody. Have a great summer. We'll see you next month.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Happy Fourth.
Happy Fourth.
Happy Fourth, everyone.
Thank you. Bye.
Happy Fourth. And thank you, Larry.
Thank you.
Take care. Thank you.